Oh, let's see if I can open that. Here we go.
It's harder than it looks, doesn't it?
It's complicated. I see it on all these award shows, and now I'm actually experiencing it. The Worker for Worst Movie About Unions goes to...
Hey folks, Chris Garlock here with a special edition of the Labor Radio Podcast Weekly. The 96th Academy Awards, the Oscars, are tomorrow night, and one of our shows, Power at Work, put together their very own Labor Oscars contest. They're probably going to get a cease and desist letter from the Academy's lawyers any day now. And in honor of all the Hollywood folks who held the line last year, we wanted to give the Labor Oscars a bit more time than we can in the weekly. So, here they are, the Labor Oscars from the Power at Work podcast.
Hello, powerful people, and welcome back to the Power at Work blog. My name is Seth Harris. I'm a senior fellow at the Burns Center for Social Change, and I'm thrilled to welcome you to Labor Oscars 2024. These are the movie awards that focus on workers, worker power, unions, and collective action. We don't have a red carpet. I'm not going to torture you with an unfunny monologue, but we do have three terrific guests to talk about labor in the movies and to help us announce the winners of The Worker, our virtual award in each of five movie categories. The winners were chosen by you, the Power Work Blog's subscribers and other friends of the blog. We'll be joined by Andrea Lyman, a distinguished actor and the New England local president of SAG-AFTRA, the Union for Movie and Television Actors, among others. We'll also be joined by Harold Phillips, an actor, voice artist, podcast host, and SAG-AFTRA member. And our final guest will be Jennifer Merrin, a movie critic and co-founder of the Alliance of Women Film Journalists. But before we start our award show, I'm very proud to tell you that the Power at Work blog is a member of the Labor Radio Podcast Network. The Labor Radio Podcast Network connects over 100 radio shows and podcasts. To learn more about the network and to find other labor radio shows and podcasts, visit www.laborradionetwork.org. Well, welcome to all three of you to the first Labor Oscars. I don't know if it's the first annual. We'll have to see how it goes. Let's be honest. And it's a star-studded blogcast. So thrilled to have all of you here. Let me say we're going to dispense with my opening monologue, even though Bruce Valanche and I worked on it for weeks. Aww. And the big musical number that we were going to do, we're going to put that aside as well, because there's no room in my home office for all of those musicians. We want to get right to the reveal of the winners in our five categories. So we're going to work backwards. Our first category is Worst Movie About Unions, and the nominees are Inside Detroit from 1956, directed by Fred Sears. The Pajama Game from 1957, directed by George Abbott and Stanley Donen. Boxcar Bertha, 1972, directed by Martin Scorsese. Fist from 1978, directed by Norman Jewison. And Hoffa, directed by Danny DeVito from 1992. Okay, so Harold, I'm going to start with you because you flamed me on Twitter. About this category. So I know you have strong opinions about it. So talk about any of these movies, but we also want to know what your pick is in this category.
Well, so the inside baseball for folks who don't follow Seth on Twitter or me on Twitter is I have kind of a problem with Fist being in the worst movie about a union category. Now, is it cheesy? Yes, as a very thinly veiled biography of Jimmy Hoffa, is it completely inaccurate? Of course. But it was the 80s, man. It was the era of action movies. And, you know, when push comes to shove, being in a union kicks ass. And every once in a while, you need a movie about being in a union that kicks ass.
Okay.
Sorry, so, you're going to have to put a content warning on that because I said kick ass.
No. I don't think we will, actually. I think that's okay. Okay, so what was your pick in this category? Which was your worst movie about unions?
Oh, there were some real bad movies in this. I mean, The Pajama Game enrages me with the fire of 1,000 white hot suns. Just the idea that this labor person can't help but fall in love with the manager. And then at the end, spoiler alert, the boss finally gives in and the workers give him a fashion show. I mean, by the end, I was just seething. But Inside Detroit, man, that is just a stinker. That is awful. And there were a lot of bad B movies in the 1950s. This is bad for a bad B movie in the 1950s.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you on a lot of that stuff in just a minute. Jennifer, you critique movies for a living, and there are a lot of ways that a movie can be bad. Maybe too many ways that a movie can be bad. So tell us which you think was the worst movie about unions, and tell us why you think it was bad.
Especially when it comes to movies with labor as a theme, I'm very particular about how labor is represented and how a film is contextualized. And I would say for that reason that The Pajama Game is, for me, as Harold said, horrific. It's so cute and it's so la 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 la. You know, I mean, this is not what labor's about. And I almost object to calling it a labor film because it's so off key. And I find actually, I actually went back to watch it because I was concerned about it. Hoffa, to be really misrepresentative of labor. I mean, I'd hesitate to call it a labor film. I know that labor's involved. But that and The Irishman also, which is not on your list, they are very bad. They're not focused on what labor accomplishes or what unions accomplish. They're focused on the corruption that surrounds them that comes from actually pressure from the outside, usually. And of course, complicity with union leaders. We've seen all of that, and we know that that's a factor. But I would prefer to see labor films that show what the unions, what labor, what collective bargaining can actually accomplish, especially because we have so much difficulty with it. And especially in view of the success of the actors' strike this and WGA's strike this year, which was extremely effective, I'd like to see films that show collective bargaining that works.
Yeah, that's a great point. And we're going to see a lot of those kinds of films in our later categories. Okay, Andrea, so you're a film actor.
Yeah, I got to tell you right away, not just a film actor, musical theater. I grew up on musical theater. I majored in musical theater. Just the other day was listening to Steam Heat and Hernando's Hideaway. I have the CD of Joe Cream in my car. Love is 7.5 cents doesn't mean a heck of a lot. I mean, I know it's got all the tropes and stuff like that, but I love it. It's got the best numbers. I mean, Steam Heat and Hernando's Hideaway and all the other ones. I know it's missing the whole labor point and all of that, but I'm not gonna have it on my worst list. I'm just
okay. No. So what did you pick? And here's my question for you: can you have a good performance in a bad movie?
Of course you can. Of course you can. But it's just that because I'm musical theater and because it has such fantastic numbers, I am not able to put it at the bottom, even though it's missing the point and it has the, you know, fall in love trope and all that kind of stuff. But it's always going to be Steam Heat and Hernando Highway. Hoffa,
I gotcha.
I would say out of the ones you picked, Hoffa, just because, you know, it did. It just made it all about violence and, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, so I, I'm going to circle back and defend myself from Harold's attack on my attack on Fist. So here's my take on Fist. And let me just say, this was a wading through mud in this category. This was just a terror. There are a lot of bad movies in this category, and I'm not going to disagree with anything anybody said about those other movies. Although I think the music is great in Pajama Game, but the story is, I agree, kind of a problem. Okay, so Fist. So this is from my teen years. So it's dating myself. I thought Stallone's performance in this movie was just horrible. I think there are some things that he's really good at, and this was just not one of them. This was just, I thought his performance was just horrible. I think it tacitly endorses violence, and it sort of takes a fascist take on unions. I'm all for unions kicking ass, Harold, but not literally violently. I just think that's the wrong image of how to win in this case. And it largely forgives Stallone's character for being corrupt. It's like he's sort of a dupe, but he's not a dupe, and he's the leader, and he's the smart guy. I'm with all of you in saying this is not a movie I want people learning about unions from. And it shows, let me just say, you can have a great writer, and you can have a bad movie. So what are you going to do? Okay, so let's go to the winner. The worker goes to, in the category of worst movie about unions. Oh, let's see if I can open that. Here we go.
It's harder than it looks, doesn't it?
It's complicated. I see it on all these award shows, and now I'm actually experiencing it. The Worker for Worst Movie About Unions goes to Hoffa from 1992, directed by Danny DeVito, starring Jack Nicholson. And again, you can have a great writer write a bad movie, written by David Mamet, right? One of the great American writers. May not love his politics, but the guy can write. So Hoffa, good for you. Those of you who pointed out Hoffa. Okay, let's go on to our next category, which is best worker power profile, parentheses, small group or individual, right? Because we wanted to include movies about small groups that were really important in labor history. So this is basically the best biopic category. And the nominees are Union Maids, which is from 1976, directed by Julia Reichert and Jim Klein. 10,000 Black Men Named George, from 2003, directed by Robert Townsend, a biopic about A. Philip Randolph. Brothers on the Line, from 2012, directed by Sasha Ruther. It's about the Ruther brothers. Sasha Ruther is Victor Ruther's grandson. Cesar Chavez, An American Hero, from 2014, directed by Diego Luna. And Rustin, from just this past year, 2023, directed by the great public theater auteur George C. Wolfe. Okay, Andrea, I'm going to start with you. So we want to hear your pick in this category, but I want to draw on your extensive acting experience. So Coleman Domingo, from Rustin, has been nominated for several awards this year, including the Academy Award. And I thought he was absolutely brilliant as Bayard Rustin, a complicated role. And he is a complicated actor, and I thought did a beautiful job. So does a biopic depend entirely on the strength of the performance of the leading actor? If the leading actor's performance is horrible, the movie is not going to be good. But is really the biopic all about the leading actor?
No, not necessarily. Not for me. Although I did love Rustin, and not just Coleman, who was fantastic, but Jeffrey Wright. I mean, just a ton of excellent performances in Rustin. Spoiler alert, I'm going to vote for that later on. But for me, sometimes it's, are there surprises in the film? Are there things I didn't know? How much have I learned? So that's why I'm torn between that and the 10,000 Men Named George. I really love that one. So I think since I'm, spoiler alert, picking Rustin later on, I'm going to pick 10,000 Men Named George, because people might not otherwise see it. And sometimes when things win something, it makes somebody look it up.
Let's find out who the worker goes to. Let's make sure I've got the, I do, I have the right envelope. Let's open it up. And the worker for best worker profile, small group or individual, goes to Cesar Chavez from 2014, directed by Diego Luna. Very, very nice. A little surprising. I have to say, I thought there would be some recency bias in favor of Rustin. And, you know, Rustin was produced by the Obamas. You think that would have gotten them over the top, but I don't think it didn't. I was very surprised.
You can stay up to date with the latest news about workers, worker power, and unions by subscribing to the Power at Work blog. You'll receive the weekly download, a Power at Work newsletter sent straight to your inbox. The weekly download collects about 24 of the week's articles, academic studies, press releases, podcasts, and videos from across the internet. We find the stories and deliver them directly to you. So subscribe to the weekly download right now on the front page of the Power at Work blog. Go to poweratwork.us.
Okay, here's category number three, best international labor movie. And by international labor movie, we mean a movie produced outside the United States. And the nominees in this category are The Organizer. Mario Monicelli from Italy was the director from 1963. The Land from 1970, directed by Youssef Shaheen from Egypt. Germinal from 1993, directed by Claude Berry from France. Made in Dagenham, or Dagenham, I guess it is, in England, from 2010, directed by Nigel Coles from Britain. And then The Factory from 2015, directed by Raul Roy from India. Jennifer, I'd like to know your pick in this category. Do you think Americans, and I also want to ask you this question, do you think Americans look for the same thing in international films that they look for in domestic films? Or is it really a different experience? Are you saying to yourself, I'm going to have a totally different thing here?
I think that American audiences look for and like whatever resonates with them. Resonates with is now a kind of a catchphrase in theater, in film criticism. And so immediately, if it's another language, Americans have difficulty embracing. We're not the most worldly watchers, let's put it that way. I do think that Americans react differently. I think occasionally they'll know of a situation and be captivated by it. But mostly I think they're looking for film. And this is, I mean, maybe I'm being very dismissive or thinking audiences are not as smart as they really are. I don't know. But I think that we're not very worldly in that way. So
what was your pick in this category?
One of my favorite movies of all time, actually, and that's Made in Dagenham. I love that film. I absolutely adore Sally Hawkins. I think she can do no wrong. Bob Hoskins is divine in it. It's a story that's based in a true situation, and it's a true situation where workers brought a huge international American company to an absolute standstill and changed the entire picture for workers. Plus the fact that it's a very feminist film. It's women who are sticking together and working together and supporting each other and understanding each other. And I love that. That's my jam. So yeah, Made in Dagenham is definitely my pick here. And over everything, I don't have anything to say about any of the other films.
Okay. So let me just say, you didn't mention that this film also features a fantastic villain played by Richard Schiff of West Wing fame, Toby Ziegler from West Wing fame. And boy, I hated him at the end of this movie. Oh my goodness, did I hate his guts because he was so villainous and it was just perfect. Absolutely perfect. Okay. The worker for Best International Labor Movie goes to The Organizer. From 1963, directed by Mario Monicelli, starring Marcello Mastroianni. Just a couple of interesting side notes about it. That film had its premiere at the 35th Congress of the Italian Socialist Party. I've never been to a premiere party like that. I don't know what you all have experienced. And the script was nominated for Best Original Screenplay at the 37th Academy Awards, but it did not win. I don't. Maybe one of you knows who won. I don't actually know who won. Okay, our penultimate category, that's second to last for those of you at home, and that is Best Documentary. The nominees are, and Jennifer mentioned it earlier, Harlan County, USA from 1976, directed by Barbara Koppel. The Wobblies from 1979, directed by Stuart Bird and Deborah Schaffer. American Dream from 1990, also directed by Barbara Koppel. The Hand That Feeds from 2014, directed by Robert Blotnick and Rachel Lears. And 9 to 5, not the Dolly Parton, Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda movie, but 9 to 5, The Story of a Movement, 2020, directed by Julia Reichert and Stephen Bognar. Now, I'm not going to ask you a bunch of added questions because I really want to focus on the film. So what I really want to know, Harold, let me start with you, is what was your pick in this category? And did you find yourself choosing between two or three movies, or was there one obvious favorite in this category for you?
No, this was a tough one. This was a really tough one. All of those films are really solid. And I lean towards 9 to 5. Simply because it's got a long history, but it's got some really compelling characters. One of the things I love about a well-made documentary is how you look at these real people and they take on that same mystique that a character in a narrative film would take on. You want to follow them. You want them to win, or sometimes you want them to lose, right? But with that in mind, I just kept coming back to Harlan County, USA, which it goes over so many years, and you see the arcs of so many people as they go through this struggle, including some of the people you don't like. And while it's not explicit, you see the toll that this struggle has taken on them. And that, to me, it's drama. You know, I mean, there is so much drama around this, aside from the events, aside from the reality of what these people are dealing with. It's a dramatic story being told. And yeah, it sticks with me today. And it was probably 35 years since yeah. I saw it for the first time.
So let's find out who our voters chose in the Best Documentary category. We don't have any playoff music. I should have mentioned that at the beginning. I could have let you go as long as you wanted. There's no playoff music here. The Worker for the Best Documentary goes to Harlan County, USA from 1976, directed by Barbara Koppel. It won the Academy Award for Best Documentary at the 49th Academy Award ceremony. I think unsurprising. It was well deserved at the time. Okay, we have reached our final award. And it is the big one. And it didn't take us 3 hours, right? We're not 45 minutes over time here. We're right on time. It's the excellence of the MC that makes that possible. Okay, so in the Best Feature Film category, the nominees are On the Waterfront from 1954, directed by Elia Kazan, starring, of course, the great Marlon Brando. Norma Rae from 1979, directed by Martin Ritt. Matewan, Jennifer mentioned it earlier, Matewan from 1987, directed by John Sayles. Bread and Roses, also mentioned earlier, from 2000, directed by Ken Loach. And Rustin from just last year, 2023, directed by George C. Wolfe. Okay, so we have built up the suspense. Our viewers are on the edge of their seats. They put their phones on Do Not Disturb, and we have a menu of what I think are genuinely great films. Not just great labor films, but great films. Now, I'm going to approach this one a little bit differently before we reveal the winner. So instead of asking you what your pick was in this category, I'm going to ask you which film you think our voters chose in this category. So, because this is a test of our guests, this is a test of the three of you to see if you have your finger on the pulse of American culture and how labor academics, trade unionists, labor journalists, labor policymakers, the people who make up the subscriber base of the Power at Work blog, think about film and culture. Okay, Andrea, Which film do you think is going to take home The Worker for Best Feature Film?
This is funny because one time I won the SAG Awards when we have our local SAG Awards party, and we vote for what we think's going to win. And I decided to be really cynical that year. And that's what, so I didn't vote for what I wanted. I voted for what I thought would win. And I won the prize that year. So that's the thing.
Well, I should have started by saying there are no prizes here. Yeah. There's actually not even a worker. I should have had like a mock-up of a worker. I don't even have that. We have like a graphic, but anyway. Okay. So
well, it's funny because each film has a different kind of a feeling, because I think of like Norma Rae, and at least for me, that was one where it inspired me. It showed me about unions. I mean, I knew some stuff before, but that was a really thing. And then during our SAG after strike at the Boston Labor Breakfast with all the labor council, Michelle Proud, who was a former president and now VP of Midsize Local, got up and had the sign that said union. And it was a great photo, you know, of Michelle with the union sign up there. And I mean, nobody ever, that's like, if people remember anything, that's what they remember from that film. Probably don't even remember what the union was or anything like that, but you remember that. And then when I think about On the Waterfront, a classic that I, once again, I'm putting on my actor hat, because little known thing, at that time, Rod Steiger was really famous, but Marlon Brando was new.
Right.
So in that big scene, you know, I could have been a contender. When it was on Marlon Brando, Rod Steiger wasn't there because he couldn't be bothered. You know, and it's usually a thing that you do. The other actor is there, even if they're off camera. They just, you know, it's a courtesy. But he wasn't there, so Marlon Brando didn't actually do it to Rod Steiger. So that's kind of a funny thing on that one. And what it depends on who the, I don't know who the audience is. So if it's a bunch of audience, a, I'm going to say Mate One, because you know, I would think that if it's a certain sturdy kind of thing, and finally we at least get the part about Black folks and labor, because that's the thing on the unions, is that little known fact, we weren't invited in a lot of the time.
Exactly.
And we were
right.
considered the enemy. And you, even if you wanted to join, even SAG-AFTRA, I mean, you know, you have Ethel Waters. SAG-AFTRA didn't support her when she won and say, hey, she needs to have a place to sit. She needs to be at, nope. So, you know, there's that. But I guess I'm going to say, I don't know how age, so it's between Mate One and Norma Rae. What I think they'd choose.
We'll let you choose two. We gave Jennifer the courtesy earlier, so that's okay. Okay, Jennifer.
And do I get to say what I chose, or is that later?
You can if you'd like. Go ahead.
Yeah. Absolutely. So mine is Rustin. Even though it's more of a community film and civil rights than it is actual labor, but that was it for me. I mean, just the whole way that he got the community together, and was all about how all of that actually works and how organizing works. And it was a lot the way we had to do it here for SAG-AFTRA for that strike, which was new to most if not all of us. I don't know many of us who had actually been involved in a strike, maybe in rallies and things. Certainly I grew up with civil rights, but not an actual strike. So we learned all the rules and things like that.
I mean, our last
strike and rally and a photo shoot.
Our last big strike was like in the 80s, wasn't it, Andrea? It was a long time ago. Members like me, you know, we'd never been on strike. So yeah, it was a whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Rustin does an excellent job of showing the work of organizing in a way that a lot of films really don't. Okay, Jennifer, who do you think, which film do you think wins, and what's your pick?
You know, I have absolutely no idea of who the audience is here. So I would hesitate to answer that, actually, because it's kind of, you know, pure speculation based on nothing. I would like to mention another film here, though, however, And that is a new film called Origin, directed by Ava DuVernay. And the reason that I mention it here...
Brand new.
Yes, it's brand new. But the reason that I mention it here is that it is not specifically about labor, but it is very specifically about workers versus exploiters, which is basically what labor films are about. And the exploiters are redefined as a class of bullies who identify a population, a group, an ethnic group, or a disabled group, or whatever kind of group, as being lesser than or unworthy, and exploit them to the extent where they are destroyed. Their community is destroyed, they are physically destroyed, they are eventually disposed of, used up, and gone. And there are three populations that are referred to in the film. It's a narrative film that's based on a book. I can't remember the title of the book, but
Cast.
Yes.
Cast.
Yes. And I think it's very important for whoever is watching this podcast to know that there is a bigger discussion that goes on here about films and labor and the relationship between people and groups and racism and the way in which we either respect or do not respect and embrace all of each other as equal and humane. Very important film that I would recommend that everybody see. As for my best feature, it's without doubt Norma Rae. I love that film. I loved Sally Field in it. Again, that union sign going up. I mean, it was, you know, a moment of triumph. And this is a film that shows how a person who doesn't identify as political or radical or anything at all can emerge as a leader, as a person who inspires collective thinking, collective bargaining. And we need people like that in our culture, in our society today. We desperately need them because everything Absolutely. Is falling apart, communities falling apart, blah, blah, blah. I could go on and on about this. I'm sure that we all could. I don't want to. But I mean, that's why it's so interesting that you're doing this particular kind of an Oscar or a worker award show, because it's focusing on something that's very important right now. So anyway, my answer to that is Norma Rae.
I couldn't agree with you more that it's important that we're doing this and that you're participating in it. Okay, Harold, you're going to have the last word. Who do you think people picked and who did you pick?
I'm easy. Norma Rae. In fact, I just have to say, Seth, that when all this is said and done and Norma Rae wins, you should just rename these awards from the workers to the Normas. Because if you want to talk about an iconic labor movie that everybody thinks of immediately when they think of union movie, it's Norma Rae. And
yeah, but Norma Rae is not a real person. We were originally going to name this after Mother Jones, call them the Jonesies, but everybody said, that sounds stupid. We don't want to do that. So we came up with the worker. But I want to acknowledge we need to rebrand the award. But the fictional character, I don't know. There's a real person behind that fictional character, but anyway.
I got two things on that. Number one,
okay.
I do think you need to rebrand because you're calling this the Labor Oscars. And the Oscars themselves, it has to be said, were in many ways an effort to stop Hollywood from unionizing.
When
the founders of SAG were starting to get together, all of a sudden the studios decided maybe they should give the workers an awards show. It was a big star-studded pizza party. Now, that's not necessarily where we are now, but labor, Oscars. When it comes to the idea of naming the award after a fictional character, I think that goes back to our discussion that we had earlier about whether a biopic has to be exactly accurate.
Oh.
Because I think those fictional inaccuracies can sometimes make for a better movie. You compress things. You tell a story. I'm not going to say that the inspiration for Norma Rae, her exact story shouldn't be told, but when people think of labor movie, they think of Sally Field holding up that cardboard sign. Whether she's real or whether she's fictional, she's an icon unto herself. So
she is.
Take
she
that is. For what.
Okay. I'm not gonna give my answer because we're gonna get right to the winner. Here's the envelope. That'll end up being the screenshot that everybody gets, my face that I just made trying to open it. The winner for Best Feature Film goes to Norma Rae from 1979, directed by Martin Ritt, starring Sally Field in the title role, Beau Bridges, Ron Liebman. A couple of facts about it. The film received 4 nominations at the 52nd Academy Awards, including Best Picture. It won 2 Best Actress for Sally Field, which generated one of the most repeated clips from the Academy Awards ever. And that is Sally Field saying, "You like me, you really, really like me," which, let me just say, happens to be true. I really, really like her. But it also won for Best Original Song for its theme song, It Goes Like It Goes. And the film is based, and here's the fact that I wanted to get out. The film is based on the true story of Crystal Lee Sutton, which is told in the 1975 book, Crystal Lee, A Woman of Inheritance. So there it is. Labor Oscars 2024. I want to thank Harold, Andrea, Jennifer, for your expert advice, your good humor, your willingness to play along with this goofy idea that we came up with. Thank you so much for being with us. And we're going to get you back here again when we do Labor Oscars 2025. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Seth.
So you made it through Labor Oscars 2024, maybe the shortest award show anywhere in America. We're delighted to have you here for this podcast. Thanks for sticking through to the end. We hope we introduced you to some labor movies that you didn't know about or that you want to watch again after our discussion. If we want filmmakers to make honest, powerful, influential films about workers, worker power, unions, and collective action, we need to support those films. We need to support the good films about labor topics. And that's what the Labor Oscars is all about, supporting labor movies and supporting the people depicted in those movies. If you'd like to support the Power at Work blog, connect with us on social media. We have pages on LinkedIn and Facebook. Just search Power at Work blog. You can find us at Power at Work blog on Twitter, X, and Threads. You can find us at Power at Work on Instagram, TikTok, and Patreon as well. And you can find all the Power at Work blogcasts on YouTube on the Burns Center for Social Change channel. The very best way you can show your support and participate in events like Labor Oscars 2024 is to go to the front page of the Power at Work blog right after this blogcast and subscribe to the Power at Work blog. We'll keep you up with the content. We'll send you the weekly download. And whenever we have an event like this, we will be sure to include you. Thanks again for joining us. We will see you back here on the blog again very soon.
The Power at Work blog is a project of the Burns Center for Social Change at Northeastern University. The Burns Center develops innovative, participatory, and equitable approaches to solving public problems using new technology. Our faculty and fellows are accomplished, nationally recognized changemakers. Interested in learning more? Go to burns.northeastern.edu and sign up for our mailing list. And you can follow us on social media at Burns Center on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. The Burns Center for Social Change, from demanding change to making it.
Hey, that's it for today's special edition of the Labor Radio Podcast Weekly. To hear Power at Work's entire Labor Oscars show, check out Power at Work at laborradionetwork.org, where you'll find more than 200 labor radio shows and podcasts, or search for the show on your favorite podcast platform. We'll see you next Friday for our regular edition of the Labor Radio Podcast Weekly. Until then, this is Chris Garlock urging you to stay active and, of course, stay tuned to your local Labor Radio Podcast show.